Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi-mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Herd podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It's a Thursday. We are live. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thanks for making us part of your day. We got a lot of stuff going on as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft. But J-Mac, you have been very much pro Luka.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's a great scorer. His style of play, I don't think it's mesmerizing, but I'm watching Luka and Jokic last night, the Denver-Minnesota game. Those are really good teams. And I've come to a conclusion. Now, I don't know if Luka's going to win titles, but Dallas right now is really good, and Denver's already got a title. But it did make me think about something, about Luka. I'm coming around.
Oh.
On Dallas and Luka.
Well, I just remind everybody, a year ago at this time, nobody believed in the Denver Nuggets. Oh, they hadn't proven anything. Jokic, he's still got to do it in the playoffs.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this. I was, sitting watching NBA late last night, late into the night. And I saw a clip. You can't give Jokic another MVP. Should have won last year. Would have been his third straight. Should win this year, he or Luka. And my take is, why not? There's only two players in this league that are unstoppable every single game, Jokic and Luka. They were both great again last night. High IQ, Europeans, elite unstoppable scorers. And unlike the windmill dunk guys, they actually will age much better. They're not aesthetically pleasing. No high-flying dunks. They stay close to the floor. They move slowly, deliberately. Their game's about angles, thick body types. But the basketball culture and basketball media loves the spectacular. And we've had great players who are spectacular. Dr. J, Michael Jordan. But it's this constant promoting of Derrick Rose and Westbrook and John Wall and John Morant. Guards that can't shoot. Yes, they can jump. And the fanboys love them. Lob City, wow. What did they ever win? What did Westbrook, Wall, John Morant? Show me the playoff wins. The best point guards in the last 15 years are guys that don't dunk. Steph Curry and Chris Paul. Smart, can elevate others, excellent shooters. That's what I want in my point guard. These European stars are not into selling shoes, and they're not into the dunk contest. They are into body angles, analytics, fewer dribbles, getting their shot, and you cannot stop Jokic and Luka. And they've got both 10-plus years of elite scoring. I mean, Jokic, that game could last forever. It could last like Brady into the 40s and still be dominant. and Luka. Again, he's not going to get hurt high-flying windmill dunks. That's the downside to the highly vertical players. They age faster. They crash to the floor more. Where's Blake Griffin? Where's John Wall? Where's Dwight Howard? Russell Westbrook off the bench. Steph Curry's 36. He's still a dominant player. Luka is going to last for 15 years. You're going to get 15 years. I said this years ago. He may end up being the first or second leading scorer in league history. This game's going to wear well. Jokic's game's going to wear well. The high-flying dunk contest guys, they age really fast. And they just don't win enough in the playoffs. Analytics matter. Spacing matters. Angles matter. I grew up in an NBA, and I loved a lot of those players where it was about verticality and dunk contest. Years ago, LeBron James just said, I'm not doing the dunk contest. And I said, he shouldn't. It's beneath him. That was the old NBA. That's the 70s, 80s, early 90s NBA. This NBA is slower, deliberate with its dominance players. You can't speed Jokic up. You can't speed Luka up. They're going to do whatever they want to do. And they're going to age incredibly well. And, you know, Kyrie Irving last night talking about Luka. I've always been a little bit cooler on Dallas because I don't see them as a team, Luka or Kyrie. Can you win with your two stars not really defenders? You got to have some defenders around these guys. But the Mavericks are playing better defense, top five last time I checked, in that net defensive rating. And Kyrie talked about Luka after the game.
We knew how special this year was going to be just based on our practices, what Luka was doing, showcasing that all the time, really being more vocal, challenging his teammates, challenging me, and doing it in his own way. And I think that's a true sign of MVP. His stats speak for themselves. He's first in, you know, a lot of different categories. If it's not going to be this year, it's going to be in an eventual future, in the near future.
Yeah, Jokic and Luka, this stuff's going to age well. It's not going away. And one of the things I love about sports is that it changes. The NFL now is an offensive league. It's Andy Reid's league. It's not Bill Belichick's league. The NBA used to be high-flying dunks, electric, dynamic, mid-range shooters. It's not. It's not. It's European. It's body angles. It's playing at your own pace. It's Jokic and Luka. Jokic has his title. Luka, yesterday, J-Mac, the one team he thinks that can beat Denver is Dallas, and I don't know if he's wrong. It's just a different league, and I like the change in leagues. Baseball now is a faster game. I mean, it used to be the strikeout was bad news in baseball. Now it's the ground ball. Stuff changes. Embrace the change because it's not going away. So Jared Goff, who I've always been a fan of, he's the number one pick. The minute he got a good offensive line and a coach in Detroit and L.A. with Andrew Whitworth and Sean McVay, he's been excellent, top 10 since then. And now he's a member of a losing franchise, Detroit. And, you know, it's I've always had this feeling because I grew up out west, but then I moved out east, and I liked it. But it was different, and I really noticed the difference in the fans and the media. It's harsher. And so Jared Goff was recently talking about how the Lions are now really good, but there's still negativity constantly with the media in Detroit that covers them.
I have this thing with our local media where, like, they almost, like, relish in negativity at times.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what gets clicks and that's what sells. But it's no longer what they need to live in. Like,
right.
Hey guys, like we have a good team. We've had success. Like, we can be happy about that. We can celebrate that and not have to write about how, like, we're constantly the underdog. And I'm probably overthinking it in my head just because it's the chip on my shoulder and the competitor in me.
By the way, Jared Goff said that from his beach house in Los Angeles. He's a happy kid. There is a northern jet stream of negativity. I saw it for 10 years at ESPN. The weather's worse, you're scraping the windshield, everything's harder in cold weather, and you stay indoors Thanksgiving to April because it's crappy outside. Go to Miami, Phoenix, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Houston, San Diego. If your team's bad, you bail, you go outside. You have cocktails at 4:30. You surf, you do something. The malls, there are even outdoor malls here. That's the reality of it. You bail on bad teams. Now, I do think the advantage to that northern negativity and intensity and tribalism is, it's kind of combative and it's kind of fun. Like, I think sports talk radio and your Chicago's and Cleveland's, Detroit, excellent. Out here, it's guy talk. Teams aren't good. Let's move on. Out there, you want to solve the issue and yell about the issue. So there's a reason it's called the Bills Mafia and not the Carolina Panthers Mafia or the Arizona Cardinals Mafia. You know, studies indicate that the more time you spend outdoors with nature, you live longer. So, but I will say Jared Goff's point is Detroit has a history of losing, and we know about the lousy weather. And so I think it's a real thing. I think it is hard when a bad culture suddenly gets really good. I think Detroit, and I said this last year, I think they're the younger version of the 49ers. Stars everywhere. They're just not paid yet and not quite as old. But I think toe-to-toe, the two best rosters easily in the NFC, easily, are San Francisco and Detroit. I like Green Bay's. It's not as good as the Lions. A lot of that's the front office. A lot of that's trades, hitting on draft picks. But, I mean, you know, it's funny about Detroit. My wife's from Michigan. You know, you listen to Eminem. I don't think optimism and hope. You know, there is a negativity that exists out there, and I saw it when I lived out east. I feel it's much more laid back and positive, optimistic out west. Some of that is because California teams have done well for the last decade. But I think Jared Goff is onto something. You get that bad weather, that intensity, you're indoors, winter and spring, you stick with your bad teams, you complain about them, and Goff's trying to say, guys, this is a really good team. We're not going to lose anymore. Like, there's going to be nothing but wins. And J-Mac, I think you and I both agree. I was hotter on the Lions than you were, but I do believe that the next 7 to 8 years, if you look at their roster, their youth, and the way they're drafting, Detroit's a winning franchise now. And I mean a consistently winning franchise.
Yeah, 7, 8 years may be a little bit much. But as someone who roots for a team that has been steeped in futility for, I don't know, 3 decades, of course Jared Goff is right. The Detroit media, all they know is that the Lions stink. They're a laughingstock. They can't do anything in the playoffs. So they're going to be negative. Like, that's not just going to change overnight. I'm a negative Jets fan.
Right.
Is there a positive Jets fan anywhere? Like, there's nothing to be positive about. The team stinks. The ownership stinks. Prove it to me, and otherwise, I'm not going to be, like, positive about the Lions.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with what Goff's saying. Like, he's right.
Yeah. The northern jet stream of negativity is a very real thing in sports.
100%. And listen, if the media is all chipper and everything's great, the economy's humming, like, who's paying attention to the media? Right?
Grievance sells.
If it bleeds, it leads. You know, negativity, death, all that stuff.
I mean, the media
stuff.
Does not talk about planes landing.
Stock market way up. You barely hear that. It's, oh, market getting crushed.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
They'll explore and listen to the sounds of amazing places like farms, racetracks, the moon, and even
construction sites.
That's right, Blippi.
Follow your ears. What do you hear?
And they'll meet new friends along the way. Alongside Blippi and Mika, your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
basically everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are now entering the No Bull Zone, sponsored by Credible Great Rates. None of the bull. So The Dynasty was that 10-part off the Jeff Benedict book. It was that 10-part documentary we saw in the winter, early spring. I liked it a lot. People said, not very nice to Belichick. Vince Wilfork, great player, came out recently and said, I don't think it was very fair to Bill Belichick. I think it was, and here's why. He got credit, Belichick, during the 20-year run, more than Brady did. We didn't call Brady the GOAT until the Atlanta Super Bowl. And remember this, who gets credit after a great dynasty is often what's the more interesting story, who's nicer to the media. Very few people get both. Tom Brady now gets much more credit. He left and still won. He should get more credit. He left and Bill lost. But coaches that rule with an iron fist may have their moment at the top of the mountain, but they're not going to age well. They should probably more often think about that. Bill Belichick cultivated, leaned into a personality that was uncooperative, combative, and arrogant. Don't be shocked if when you start losing, everybody's not giving you the warm fuzzies. Bill leaned into uncooperative. Andy Reid is going to age much more gracefully. He's much more of a player's coach. He can joke with the media. He doesn't go out of his way to be uncooperative. Look at two great 49ers. Jerry Rice, aging well, graceful. T.O. isn't. One was combative, one wasn't. Bobby Knight and Belichick, really sad at the end, sort of, right? You know who it's not sad for? The Zen Master, Phil Jackson. Steve Kerr is aging well. Again, Andy Reid is aging well. Abrasive, combative, uncooperative. It works when you're at the top of the mountain. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, is not aging well. He looks Looney Tunes. People taking shots at him. He's defensive all the time. You know who's aging well? Eli Manning. Peyton Manning. Tom Brady. Got along with people. So in the end, Belichick got what he deserved. A lot of credit during his run, as did Bobby Knight. But if you're lean into things that are difficult, Brady always took time for the media, right? Always took time. Dumb questions, didn't love him, relentless coverage of the Deflategate, which remains wildly silly and overrated. But he took time, most of the time, to address it. Bill fought, battled, leaned into arrogant, never ever willing to cooperate. Well, don't be shocked if it's an ugly final chapter. For the record, that's just not my opinion. Look at the people that got hired. 7 openings. Bill didn't sniff them. Like, again, it does matter. When you're going up the ladder, just remember, eventually in sports, you'll go down that ladder too.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, we're Covino and Rich. Fox Sports Radio every day, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. But here's the thing. We never have enough time to get to everything we want to get to.
And that's why we have a brand new podcast called Overpromised. You see, we're having so much fun in our two-hour show, we never get to everything. Honestly, because this guy is overpromising things we never have time for. Yeah, you blubber lips.
Blaming me. Well, you know what? It's called overpromise. You should be good at it because you've been overpromising women for years.
Well, it's a Covino and Rich after show, and we want you to be a part of it. We're going to be talking sports, of course, but we're also going to talk life and relationships. And if Rich and I are arguing about something or we didn't have enough time, it will continue on our after show called Overpromised.
Well, if you don't get enough Covino and Rich, make sure you check out Overpromised and also Uncensored, by the way, so maybe we'll go at it even a little harder. It's going to be the best after-show podcast of all time.
There you go. Overpromising. Perfect. And remember, you could see it on YouTube, but definitely join us. Listen to Overpromised with Covino and Rich on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
They'll explore and listen to the sounds of amazing places like farms, racetracks, the moon, and even
construction sites.
That's right, Blippi.
Follow your ears. What do you hear?
And they'll meet new friends along the way. Alongside Blippi and Mika, your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bucks say Giannis is out. Just throw this out for the regular season. That team is fascinating. And did you notice this, J-Mac? I'm not going to spend. I'll talk about this later. So we know the Celtics signed Jaylen Brown, Max Steel. And we know they're going to sign Tatum. Here, quick, Max Steel. Did you see they signed Drew Holiday to 4 years, $135 million. And they got Porzingis on the books for a couple years. So you see what Boston is doing. If you watch what is happening in the NBA, 10 of the top 11 teams have no bench. Just the way. In fact, let me look this up. Let me look this up. 10 of the bottom 11 bench scoring teams. 10 of the 11 lousiest benches are playoff teams. You see what's happening in the league now? Spend your big money up top. Spend it up top. For the good teams, do not use the draft as a lottery hoping to win Powerball. That's for the bad teams. Build your stars, big money, pay all of them. Don't worry about your bench. And when you get that late first round pick in the draft as a good team, draft a 3 or 4 year college player that can come in lower ceiling and just an adult Christian Brown, adult right. At Kansas 3 years. So what happens to Houston? They're buying lottery tickets. OKC is buying lottery. They're looking for high ceiling guys. Denver, get me a college guy. Miami Heat, they get the UCLA kid. 3-4 year player. So what you're doing now, because there's almost no chance once you get past like the 13th pick to get a megastar in the NBA. Mm. It's very rare. But it is interesting. What the Celtics are doing is what Denver is doing, which is pay your stars, don't worry about the bench, go get an older college player, lower ceiling, that can come in, mature, and can play.
But you could argue the Celtics used the draft. Tatum is homegrown. Brown is homegrown. And on Denver, Jokic and Murray were both drafted by Denver. So you've got to hit on your high draft pick, right? And then you supplement them. We'll bring in a Holiday.
I'm saying there's two different models in the NBA. The bad teams use the draft. They're taking flyers on mega talents that they hope develop. The successful good playoff teams use the draft, middle lower, to go get experienced college guys who are grown-ups. They get out of the development game. Rick Bucher recently talked about how veteran teams are going to start looking for older guys.
If you're drafting and you're saying this guy's going to be part of our rotation, I think you're going to see teams taking players that have spent more years in college as a result, because you're asking a guy to play a role and to play without the ball. And the only guys that are capable of doing that are guys that have been in college for a while and had to go through the process, had to at some point in their career, the reason they stayed in college, they were in college a number of years before they went to the NBA, is because they weren't a star right from the beginning. So they know how to play a role. They have that experience.
It's just interesting. There's two models now, and the Boston model is going to be, I think, it's going to be the Denver model. 10 of the 11 bottom benches, those are the playoff teams. Those are the good teams. They don't care about bench. They don't care about it anymore. They look at the Celtics now in Denver will look at the draft as diversifying their portfolio. Houston, San Antonio look at it as buying a Powerball ticket. Look at the bench scoring here. You know, it's like the good teams don't have a bench. They're not worried about it. They're just going to draft guys that can play and make them good now. They're not going to worry about because guys come out of the draft, they're 19. Like the Warriors, by the way, tried this. They tried it with Wiseman. He couldn't play with the veteran players. So what do? They go get Chris Paul. They draft guys that can come in and play. Kuminga, I like Kuminga, but he doesn't feel like you. I don't trust Kuminga at all in the playoffs. He's just not refined enough, and that's with a good staff, smart coaches in Golden State. Well, some NFL stuff next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Danny Green, 15 years, 3 NBA championships. What's interesting, he got one with the Spurs, the Raptors, and the Lakers. Host of Inside the Game Room with Danny Green. Smart guy, always love him on the show. You know, we talked about that, is that sometimes when you get a star and you're not in a glamorous market, like a Milwaukee, and you may win, but you're like, we got to make this move because players won't choose us. We got to go trade for them. And I thought the Dame Giannis thing would be better. The analytics tell you it's not great. Are you surprised that Dame and Giannis, Danny, has not been a perfect fit?
No, I think this year, I think a lot of people expected better, but it's just the first year. Mind you, there's been a lot of changes. There's been a lot of injuries, guys coming and going. During the trade deadline, they picked up different people. I don't think that they don't fit. I just don't think that the defensive side is producing the way they expected.
Yeah.
And that's due to the lack of Drew and the pieces they've got around them. You know, letting Drew go changes your defense. Letting certain people go changes your defense. So, you know, Jay Crowder is a guy that's had injuries. They don't have a bunch of 3-and-D guys. Now, Malik Beasley's been shooting the hell out of the ball. Defensively, he have to carry the load in that starting group of guarding the perimeter, because obviously they're a little bit smaller. You know, Dame is not, so not the greatest defender, but he's not terrible, but he's just smaller. They have a smaller, you know, front court or back court with him, and then Pat Bev, he's a defender too, but he's smaller. So I think that's where their weaknesses are. It's not the offense. Obviously, Dame can score, Giannis can score, Brooke shoots it well. They have good shooters around them. But defensively is where they lack a lot of the discipline. And then with the coaching change, you know, that makes things a little bit harder. You know, midseason, you got it 30-13, you got a coaching change, probably change up a whole offense, trying to figure each other out. I think it just needs more time. So I'm not that shocked, but I also think we have to give them a little bit of more grace period because of the things that have happened this year with them.
So I was saying to start the show that there was a time, my favorite first player was Dr. J, and we all loved Michael, and it was the spectacular. But analytics now are not about dunks and the spectacular. They're about different things. The league's getting more European. And by the way, when you play below the rim, you age more gracefully. You start high-flying, you crash to the floor. John Wall, Dwight Howard, Blake Griffin, Russell Westbrook. Steph's 36, looks like he could play forever. Luka and Jokic, to me, those guys look like they could shoot those jumpers until they were 44 years old. So I look at Luka, and I look at the European players, and I look at Jokic, and it's not as aesthetically pleasing. It's not the NBA I grew up with. I love it, but I look at those teams. Do you see what's happening to the league where these guys that kind of play more deliberately, below the rim, analytic superstars, not that optically, they're not jumping high-flying guys. Do you see the change the NBA is moving to more European, and that Luka and Jokic may be our Magic and Bird the next 10 years?
Yeah, I see it, but I also think it's never going to go like completely away from the American type of basketball style of play, I guess you would say, quote-unquote, of the athleticism. You know, you still have guys like Anthony Edwards. You still have guys like John Morant. Those guys are still – just maybe if they can adapt and adjust, but some of them said their careers may not last as long, like a Dirk, because they shoot the one-legged fade, which you don't have to be athletic to do. But they're great players, and I see them adapt and adjusting. But, yes, I have seen that the league has changed some and going in that direction. Those guys are crafty. They're pros at 15, 16 years old, so they have really good fundamentals. They have really good touch. They have a high IQ. They're some smart, probably a little smarter than some of the American players for sure, because they've been doing it so long. And they have to be smarter, crafty, because they're not as athletic. But I still see a lot of that American-style play happening because we have so many dynamic superstars, so many guys that can do not only be athletic but can score, too, under the rim and do this. Anthony Edwards and John Morant, those guys, I can still see them. SGA, I see those guys still be able to score and adapt and adjust when their athleticism isn't as high as it was when they're younger. You know, Blake, people say Blake Griffin, but he developed a jumper in mid-range. He shot some threes, and in Detroit, he played a different style of game. So I can see guys adapting and adjusting as they get older. But, you know, people love – that's the reason why they sell a lot of tickets. People love to watch those type of things. People want to see those type of things. Yeah. They want to see the athleticism. They want to see the dunks. They want to see the fast breaks, why they change, you know, the take foul rule, the, you know, stopping the break rule, because they want to see more fast breaks and more points and more threes. So, yeah, I can't see us completely getting away from it.
Yeah, I've said I don't think the Lakers could beat Denver, but I could argue they may match up better with them than anybody not named the Celtics. They're long. LeBron AD at least makes Jokic work. He's such a dominating defensive player, and he's been healthy now for a year and a half. LeBron in any big series can take over a game and create shots. And then they have enough guys. Austin Reeves, D'Lo can hit a jumper. I don't know if they can beat Denver. I look at Denver, and they don't have much of a bench. Most good teams in this league don't. They pay their big guys up front.
Yeah.
Do you think anybody in the West... Like, I think OKC is just too young. I watched Minnesota last night, and I'm like, oh, they kind of match up with them. Is there a team that you think forces Denver six or seven games or potentially could beat them?
I said, one-on-one, I agree with you. I think Anthony Davis is the best one-on-one matchup for Jokic, and even then, Jokic kind of plays pretty well against the Lakers. There's no one-on-one matchup for him in the league that you can, you know, that's going to stop him. I think the best matchup, you said Minnesota last night, but they still are missing Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
I think with those two bigs, it gives Jokic the best look, and I think they're the only team in the West that gives them the best matchup.
Yeah.
Now, Lakers, they have good pieces. I don't think they have that second big that they need to, because AD is better playing away from the ball, off the ball, weak side, having to guard Jokic and the guard Aaron Gordon, a cutter a lot, but block shots on the weak side. But he doesn't have that. They have Jackson Hayes, but I don't know if that's enough.
Yeah.
You know, the best times when we were able to face them or play them well with the Lakers, we had JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard. We had multiple bigs that we could throw at him and, you know, play the two-big game to where two defensive bigs can make it hard for him. The only team that I see that kind of emulates that is the Minnesota Timberwolves when they have Karl-Anthony Towns healthy. They need to get him back sooner than later if they want to make a good run in the playoffs.
I think if Giannis gets bounced early in the playoffs, he'll grumble. I think Jalen Brunson's better than I ever thought he would be. I think Golden State would make a run and move off all their young bigs. They'd give up draft picks, Kuminga. They'd give up anything. They're going to keep probably Draymond, Steph, and Pods if they can, but they'll move off a lot. If let's say you were Giannis, and here come the Knicks, here come the Warriors, would you stay in the East, which is weaker? Because I do think if Milwaukee gets bounced, I mean, Giannis is moving through some coaches here. They don't have a lot of draft picks. Boston looks like they're much better equipped for the future. So is OKC and Denver. If you were a Giannis and you were unhappy, is there a place? Because Brunson's better than I thought he would ever be. I'm not so sure.
I think
New York and Giannis make sense, no?
I think it makes more sense than Golden State. They're a little bit younger. They have said it's in the East. It's wide open.
Yeah.
The West is tough, man. If I'm one of those guys, I would not try to say. I mean, some guys love the challenge. I mean, Giannis is not getting any younger. He has the issues with the calf, the knee, and his ailments are coming along. So when he's younger, it may be different. Like I want all the smoke. I want to get to the West and play in the West Coast teams and try to beat those guys. But he's already won with Milwaukee. He's proven that he's a champion and done it with his group in his city. So he's done what he's supposed to do when he was in the city of Milwaukee. He's able to now figure out what he wants to do and what's best for him without the city holding it against him. And I do think the best place for him in the East would probably be the New York Knicks, honestly. But then you'd have to let go of some guys. If they can keep Jalen, OG, and him, you'd have to get rid of Julius Randle, Mitch Robinson, Hartenstein. Like, there's a lot of pieces that you'd have to probably move in that deal that you don't want to get rid of because they have a lot of great pieces there in New York. But yeah, that would probably be the best fit for him in the East.
Finally, Wemby. Again, better than I thought. Another European, played against older players. So he walks into this league, gets really good, like Luka and Jokic. You know, Luka was by his 20th game in this league. You're like, oh, we got an elite scorer. Is Wemby better than you thought he would be at this age and at this time?
I think, yes, all the people you just mentioned are a lot better. I knew Jalen Brunson was good. I didn't think he'd be great. And I thought, the New York bright lights would make it different. But Wemby, I think he has proven a lot of people wrong because nobody expected this. A lot of people thought Bol Bol. A lot of people thought he was too tall and not agile enough to guard the pick and roll. But he's able to do it all. You know, he's able to guard. He's able to protect the rim. He's able to shoot threes, play from the high post. And to do it in such a short stint, man, is impressive. So this is rookie year still, and the best is yet to come. He's exceeded my expectation. He's way better than I expected him to be. And I can't wait to see, you know, what his ceiling is or what he gets to in the next couple of years. He's probably going to be the face of the league
in
the next 3 years or so.
Inside the Green Room with Danny Green, 3 rings, 3 different teams, 15 years in the league. Good luck to you. Congrats on your success with your pod, man.
Thank you, man. You catch me inside the Green Room. I appreciate you guys.
All right.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Hey parents, looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip.
Each week, the Blippi-mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.